Open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Just a little bit of a, like I said earlier, whipped cream on the cake tonight. It's been a blessing to be here and to hear what God did. I'll read a few verses here. Ecclesiastes 12. Would you stand with me as we read? If you're able to stand, stretch your legs. I know I've been sitting a little bit here, trying to wake some of you up as well. Let's read responsively down to verse 7. I'll read verse 1. We'll read together verse 2. And back and forth till verse 7. Notice the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth.
Amen.
While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it."
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. It's been a joy to be in your house tonight. Lord, as we just take just a moment here in your word, and we think about not only camp and the young people, but also ourselves, that you'd help us to heed this warning in the Bible. And Lord, I believe it is a warning. Father, I believe you've led me to preach this message, so I pray you'd use it for your glory. I pray that you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit tonight, and may your word have free course, and help all of us to consider what you're saying to us here tonight.
Amen.
For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One day in the late 1800s, the evangelist D.L. Moody had returned from a tent revival meeting. When he was reporting about the meeting to someone, this is a familiar story, by the way, he said something that was very interesting about the meeting. He told someone that 2.5 people were saved at the meeting. That's right. 2.5. The person replied, that he was speaking to, replied by saying this. He was thinking for a moment and said, "Oh, you mean 2 adults and 1 child got saved?" Moody countered by saying, "No, 2 children and 1 adult were saved." The man he was speaking to looked puzzled, and Moody went on to explain by saying it this way: when you save a child, you save a life.
Amen.
A whole life.
Amen.
Did you get what he was saying?
When
an adult gets saved, of course, what he's saying here is that person has only a part of his life left to serve the Lord. But when a child gets saved, Lord willing, that child has their whole life in front of them to serve the Lord.
Amen.
It's a powerful thought, isn't it? You know, if you were to talk to any adult that got saved later in life, they would all, I believe, all invariably say, "I wish I were saved earlier in life."
Amen.
If you were to talk to any adult that got saved early in life, but then did not serve the Lord until later in life, they too would all invariably say, "I wish I would have served the Lord earlier in my life." If you were to talk to someone on their deathbed and look back upon their life, I don't care what they did for a living, how much money they made, all the riches that lay behind them, if they were a saved person that did not serve the Lord, do you know what they would say? "I wish I served the Lord with my life."
Amen.
And that's exactly what God is telling us in this book of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes is one of the most misunderstood and misinterpreted and misapplied book in the entire Bible. And the reason for it is because of this. Many of its statements, when taken out of the context of the book, would seem to contradict other statements in the Bible. And that's why many cults love to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, because they misinterpret it, ignoring the context. Let me show you what I mean. Look back at chapter 8 and verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. This would seem to say that man has nothing better to do than to eat, drink, and be merry. That should be his life. Well, how does that line up with Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, which say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It seems like a contradiction, but it's not.
Amen.
Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, back there in verses 19 and 20. Notice we read, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and turn to dust again. This verse would seem to indicate that when a man dies, it's over. That's it. We just go into the ground. But then we read in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There we see, no, it's not over after we die. If we're saved, we go to heaven.
Praise the Lord.
So how do you explain these apparent contradictions? Well, the context of the Bible.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. King Solomon is reflecting on what life would be. If there were no God, what life would be like without serving the Lord. And what he says over and over in this book is a very interesting phrase. As a matter of fact, he says it 33 times. The idea of this book, as Solomon looks back on his life, and he thinks if there were no God, then you know what life would be? It would be absolute vanity. Vanity of vanities, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And here in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, if you'll go back there, Solomon gives every human being, don't miss it, not just the young, but everybody tonight, but particularly the young, he gives us the very best advice we could get.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's in chapter 12, in verse 1.
Amen.
Remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth. In other words, what he's saying here is for all of us to serve God as early as possible and serve Him with your entire life.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. He's saying, remember now.
Amen.
Would you say those two words with me? Say it now. Ready? Remember now. One more time. Remember now. Let me give you three quick things here. I say that to make you feel a little better. Quick. That will help us from this passage. Number one, consider the remembering now. The remembering now. Solomon is telling us to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The word remember means here to be mindful of. To give attention to it. It means to choose. That's what it means. The idea here is what he's saying to all of us. He's pleading with us as he's standing there as someone that's been down the road, someone that had everything he could possibly want in life, and he's looking back on life, and he's saying here, he's saying, don't wait, don't delay, don't waste your life chasing possessions, don't waste your life chasing pleasures, don't waste your life chasing power or position or personal pursuits. Don't let time slip away. Don't look back on your life with regrets.
Right. Amen.
Choose to serve God now. Live for God now. Give your life. Every one of us should give our lives to God absolutely now.
Amen.
Don't delay.
Amen.
Turn over with me to Romans chapter 13, if you would, holding your hand in Ecclesiastes 12. Here the same words are echoed by the Apostle Paul in Romans 13 and verse 11.
Amen.
Notice we read, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen.
What's he saying here? He's saying, don't waste time. Serve the Lord now.
Amen.
You know, one of the most damaging and deceiving traits that a person can have, especially when considering serving God, is procrastination. I'll do it later. Too many times I've heard that. Preacher, I want to get involved. Preacher, I want to help out. Preacher, I want to teach a Sunday school class. I want to work the bus ministry. But there's just a few things I got to do first. I got to get my finances straight, or I have to get that addition done on my house, or I have to get through this overtime at work, or the excuses go on and on and on. And before you know it, your life is gone because you didn't do it now. You see, all of us can come up with an excuse for why we shouldn't do it now, why we should do it later. But God says, don't wait, don't waste time, don't let that time slip away. You get involved with the work of God and do it now.
Amen.
Right now. William M. Thayer wrote in his book, Gaining Favor with God and Man, he says, quote, decision must emphasize starting. I'm going to make a decision for God. When? When? Start now. He goes on to say, running to overtake lost time or opportunity only exhausts the breath. One can never catch up.
Amen.
You know, time is one of those commodities that will never come back to us. We can never regain it. It is gone. And no matter what age you are tonight, of course, he's addressing the youth to do it in your youth. But there is no better time, there's no greater time to serve the Lord than now.
Amen.
And for the young person, read the verse again. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why is that? Because those years are going to slip away.
Amen.
So number one, the remembering now. Notice secondly, number two, the reason for now. You see, Solomon here in our text, King Solomon, gives us some reasons for serving God now. Why is it so important? I remember talking to someone, I won't say who it is, it's actually someone related, but not in this church. But they said, you know, one day I'm going to maybe, you know, get involved with the things of God. I'm going to wait, I'll do it later. Why should we do it now, was his thought. Now is very important. Why is that? Two reasons. Number one is this. Because the body breaks down.
Right.
It does. I never used to think that when I was in my 20s. I looked at people and I thought, boy, why are they making all those funny noises when they just merely stand up out of a chair? And that moan that my dad did getting out of bed sometimes, oh, you know, then I find myself doing the same thing. You know, it's interesting in verses 2 through 5, because there's some phrases that are used as we were reading them. If we don't really think about them, they almost seem confusing. Look what he says. He says, while, verse 1, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Those are some seemingly confusing phrases. What do you mean, while the sun or light be not darkened, and in the days where the keepers of the house shall tremble? What does it mean, the grinders to cease, and the windows be darkened? What's he talking about there? You know what he's talking about? Our bodies.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. These are all metaphors for the parts of the bodies, the body. He is telling us that as time passes, guess what, folks? Our bodies break down.
Amen.
And we are not able to do the things that we used to do.
Right.
Our strength weakens. Our physical bodies eventually fail. Our hearing begins to fail. Our seeing begins to fail. I remember one time somebody had this ringtone just a couple years ago. It was supposed to be a ringtone for youth because they say once you get to a certain age, you can't hear certain tones. And they put the ringtone. I said, listen to this ringtone. And I didn't hear a thing. They said, there it is. I said, what do you mean there it is? Look, I'll do it again. Silence to me. Why is that? Because that's the way the body goes. That's the way that life goes. And understand something. As time progresses, we're not able to put in the hours that we used to put in. We're not able to burn the candle at both ends. This is the way it goes for all of us. These bodies that God has given to us will eventually break down. I don't care how much we exercise. I don't care how many vitamins we take. I don't care how many things we strive to do to stop it from happening. I mean, put all the cream on your face you want to. You're still going to get wrinkles. It's the way it goes. And guess what? As time progresses, we're not able to do in the future we won't be able to do what we can do now.
Amen.
That's why now is so important. Because the body breaks down.
Right.
But there's a second reason, and that is this. Because of the brevity of life.
Amen.
Look at verse 5 at the end of it. He says, because man goeth to his long home,
amen,
and the mourners go about the streets. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While, he goes on to say, while you still have time, while you still can, while you still have the ability, while you can still see and you can still hear. Because one day, man, all of us are going to go to his long home.
Right.
You know, the Bible reminds us again and again that life is short.
Thank you, Lord.
It's short. Psalmist said in Psalm 89, verse 47, remember how short my time is. A life in the Bible is compared to several things, many things, a few of them, one being a vapor. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, James 4:14. Psalm 90 and verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Job 7:7, oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. We just had that tornado come through here. And let me tell you something, that whole devastation, most people only experience that wind for about 20 seconds. What a powerful wind it was. It's in and out just like that. And God says that's the same as your life and mine. It's in and out just like that. And by the way, you and I don't know what tomorrow holds. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. My point is this, we do not know how much time on earth we have left. You don't know it and I don't know it. Oh, you can plan ahead, and I think we should plan ahead. That's what the Bible teaches. But we can think about the future and all that. But guess what? We are not guaranteed even tomorrow.
Amen.
That's why we should serve God now. Stop making excuses for not serving God.
Amen.
Do it now.
Amen.
So we see number one, the remembering now. We see number two, the reason for now, because the body breaks down and the brevity of life. But then number three, notice the removing of now. Look what we read in verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And I'm going to say something that may sound silly, but just listen closely. Now is only now, now.
Right.
It's true. Amen. Now is only now, now.
Amen.
One day, there will be no more now.
Right.
It'll be gone. My point is this. Understand, once you and I leave this world, it's over, all of our opportunities to do what we wanted to do for God are going to be gone. Gone. The opportunity to win souls will be gone.
Right.
The opportunity to get involved in a ministry will be gone. The opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life will be gone. And then we'll be in that next world. That world that we don't see but we know of from the Bible. Notice he says here, and verse 7, and the Spirit shall, notice, return to God. Guess what we're going? We're going back to God.
Praise the Lord.
We're going back to Him. And you and I will have an inescapable meeting with God.
Amen.
And do you know what we're going to give an answer for? What we did with our now.
Amen.
Remember now. Now.
Amen.
Can I ask you tonight? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with it? What are you spending your time, talent, and treasure in? Oh, I understand we have to work a job to feed our family and all that. I get that. We have to provide and all that. But our primary purpose in life, all of us, if we're saved, is supposed to be, well, I'm not going in the ministry. Regardless of that, whether you're going in the ministry or not, we're all in the ministry.
Praise the Lord.
And all of us should serve God.
Amen.
Now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Remember now thy Creator.
Amen.
In the days of thy youth. Do it now before now is gone. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together.